We're learning a Hasidic discourse by the Rebbe Maharash, Rabbeinu Shmuel, the fourth Rebbe of Chabad. This discourse is on the unity of God, the idea that there's only one God and so on, and there's nothing else that really has power over anything else in the whole world. Okay, we're basically in the middle of the discourse, and the Rebbe already explained that every single thing in this physical world has a source in a spiritual world. And the truth is that there are two steps, very briefly, two steps in this creation process, so to speak, from spirituality or whatever, God, and up to this physical world. Step number one is called Yesh Meyesh, a creation something from something. It's like a diminishing of light, pen, energy, power, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. The diminishing of the energy of God, smaller and smaller and smaller, up to a certain point. But then, the second step, that the Rebbe did not go deeply into it, he just mentioned it twice, three times, but he didn't explain what it is Yesh Me'ain, something from nothing. In other words, spirituality is, God is infinite. So there's nothing you can actually take from infinite that will not give you a result of infinite. Like take infinite and subtract one, is going to be infinite. Subtract two, infinite. Ten, etc. So even if the infinite power diminishes and diminishes and diminishes, it's still being infinite. So how do you become, or how do you create, so to speak, a physical thing which is finite and defined and so on, that every single person should know that it has limits and so on, etc. How do you come from a spiritual infinite realm into a physical finite realm? That's called Yesh Me'ain, something from nothing. We call this physical world Yesh, something, and we call the spiritual world, because we don't understand it, Ain, nothing. But those are the two processes needed in order to create this particular world. It's not the subject of this particular Maimar, but I think it's an interesting thing to at least share the main idea. According to this, you should be asking, wait a second, if any way to go from spirituality into physicality, you're going to need a jump, Yesh Me'ain, something to nothing, like without connection, why do you need the first process? Why do you need yesh me'yesh, diminishing, 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 and then creating? Just take the second step. Yesh me'ayin, and that's it. It's going to be quicker, faster, easier, and so on. And the answer is, it's a long thing that I'm making very short, but the answer is, of course, God can do anything he wants. He could have created this way, of course, but the point of this diminishing of the energy is actually for us. It's a kindness that God does for us to be able to grasp at least something. If the creation would have been only Yesh Me'ayin, there would be something from nothing, there would be no way for a human being to grasp anything of God. Maybe, I didn't see this written anywhere, but maybe even the word God and the idea of God, of something higher, etc., would be impossible to fit into our minds. Like, even if we don't understand God, we can at least say, yeah, there's a being over there, whatever, let's call him God. Okay, he's infinite and I don't understand. Yeah, but whatever, call him God. At least we can talk about it. But if the creation would have been only Yesh Me'ayin, we wouldn't even be able to talk about such a thing. That it wouldn't even enter the mind. It's like, it's not a very, very good example, but whatever. It's like in the Middle Ages, let's talk about iPhones. What? Phones. What do I mean phone? Electricity. It doesn't even fit the mind. It's impossible. Like, they don't know what you're talking about. So the same thing would be if this other, the first process wouldn't exist of diminishing the energy, etc. and so on, we wouldn't be able to talk about God. Now, let's move on the mind, on the discourse. Hine. Now, Inyan Bria Yesh Me'ayin, what does it mean? Because the Rebbe didn't explain this. He explained a lot of the other process, Yesh Me'yesh, something from something, but he didn't explain something from nothing. So now he's going to explain. This whole thing of creation, something from nothing, U'shedavar ha'mehave u'mistater mevechinas davar, mevechinas davar ha'misave. This is the process of the literal translation, even though it sounds weird. The thing that creates hides, conceals from the thing being created. Like God, the creator, conceals himself from his creation. This is actually the difference, the main difference between a chain of levels that we explained before, yesh me yesh, something from something. That's one thing. The difference between that and creation, something from nothing. What's the difference? The whole thing of a chain of creation and levels and so on, that means that the consequence, the creation, so to speak, grasps its cause, its creator. That means שבחינס התחתינה שבאילה מושגס לבחינס העלו למיסה וממנה. He says the same thing but in different words, in more technical words. The lower level of the creator, of the cause, is grasped by the consequence created by it. And he's going to explain it in a different easier words. כמו יסכל ומידס. This is just like intellect and emotions. In intellect, you have different levels. It doesn't really matter all the levels right now, but the particular level that Rebbe is referring to in Hasidus is called Bechein. Bechein means, and therefore, suppose a person thinks all the virtues and great things you can get out of a certain product or certain thing and so on. And you think about all the disadvantages, it's expensive or whatever, all kinds of ideas. You spend a whole hour trying to understand why this, I don't know, this detergent is good for your hands and good for your whatever, and it's bad because it's expensive, and so on. You come to the rational conclusion, this is the product you need to wash your dishes. This is really what you need. You go to the supermarket, a whole bunch of different brands and products. This is the one I need because the price is okay, because the color I like it, because the brand is a good one, because it smells like lemon, whatever. You choose this one. After really thinking about it, you make an intellectual, rational conclusion. This is the one I want. I'm going to go buy it. I'm going to pick it up from the shelf, whatever. So that's basically two processes. First one is seichel, intellect by itself. All the advantages, disadvantages, and so on. And then you have a conclusion, Bechein. And therefore, so go pick it up. This is the one you need. This is the one you want, or whatever the case. And that generates that conclusion, rational conclusion, is the engine, so to speak, the strength of emotions. Now you really want it. And you get excited and you say, yeah, that's the one. I found it. I want this. I need this, and so on. That's Seichlomides. So what's the connection with what the Rebbe said before? Let's go back just half a line to the previous line. Hainu. That means that by the end of the third line, Shebechina Satachtoina, the lowest level, Shebaila, in the cause, that would be the rational conclusion that this is what you really need. Museges, that's actually grasped. The emotions can understand a conclusion. Go do this. Emotions don't understand all the rational thinking of the advantages and disadvantages and the prices and the colors. Emotions don't get any of this. Emotions, you just have to deal with, do it or don't do it. Is it good for me or not? Why would it be good for you? I'll explain to you a whole hour why this detergent is actually good for you. But emotions don't get all the ideas, all the hour of thinking. I just tell me, is this good or not? Yes. Okay, let's go do it. That's the conclusion. That's the lowest level of intellect, of seichel. Veloch, and therefore, nikris ishtal shelus. That's why actually this is called in all the Kabbalah books and the mysticism and so on, this is called ishtal shelus, which is related to shalsheles, to a chain. Kimo shalsheles, like a chain. One ring of this chain is actually attached to the other one. That's ishtalshelus. That's yesh me yesh, something from something. But the whole idea of creation, something from nothing, הנה בחינס העין אינו מוסה כלל. The nothingness, quote unquote, is completely not grasped at all by us. שזהו פידוש מעין. That's why it's actually called something from nothing. What do you mean nothing? We are nothing and God is something. He is the real something. I'm the real nothing. So you're calling me something and God nothing? Why do you call God nothing? Because that's the whole point. שאינו מושג. We don't get it. We don't understand it. What's God? Okay, I don't know what's God. Okay, so let's call him nothing because we just don't get him. And me? I can tell you who I am. I like this and I like that and I like this, blah, blah, blah. So again. שאינו מושג ממה ניסב. בחינה זו, we cannot understand and grasp what is the source of our being. Where did I come from? Where do I come from? I don't know. God. Yeah, what's God? What does that mean? ואם היה מושג, לא היה מסב המציאות הגשמי, אז כולי, and if we would actually grasp, be able to understand where we come from, we wouldn't be a physical, quote-unquote, separated being from God. Like the angels, they do understand where they come from. That's why they praise and so excited about God, because they understand something at least from God, of course, more than us, and therefore they can't rebel against God. What are you talking about?
It's impossible.
They see that it is the source of their life. But we? No, we don't see it. We don't grasp it. So it could be that a person rebels against God. Venimza comes out, ki bechol davar anivra begashmius, it comes out that from every single physical thing created, mishor shesh baruchnius, from its source in spirituality, tichilo mishtalshel revovis madregos ishtalshelus. First of all, there's a whole chain of levels, level after level, tens and thousands of levels, sheuke inyan asaga sila be'olu, that this is the whole point of cause and consequence. Cause and consequence, it's connected, one thing of the, like the, to the other, like a chain. ואחר כך מיסה למין הדבר המסווה, and then the creator hides, conceals himself from this thing being created, עד שמסווה מציאס יש של הנברא. מאין? To the point that it's created an existence of something from nothing. שאינו מושג לפי שמסלם. What does it mean, nothing? Again, we don't grasp it because it's concealed. It's hidden. Okay, so now the Rebbe explained the difference between yesh me yesh, yesh me ein. Something from something, something from nothing. Al pi ze, yuvan shegam mimnor, mar she metzius ha'olam b'chol ma shenivra hu metzius. According to this, we're going to understand that even if you want to say that the existence of the world, like open your eyes and see the world around you, I see something, I see world, whatever. So even if you want to say that this is actually a creation, metzius, this is existence, this is true, because if you're not going to say so, what was created in the 6 days of creation? What is the Torah talking about? Like, if the Torah says that there's a creation, so you're going to have to conclude that there is a creation. If you're only going to say that it looks like a creation, but it's not, everything is a lie. Oh, really? You live on a lie? In Ken, if this is so, Moshe Kaso Breishis Bara. What does that mean? The Torah says that God created. So if you're going to say that the world is nothing, it doesn't really exist. You know, like that movie, Matrix or whatever. The world doesn't exist. It just looks like, oh, really? So the Torah is lying. God is lying. He said he created something. And you're saying he didn't? No. So the world is something. Definitely. If you're going to say that the world doesn't exist, so why is the Torah saying, Breishis Bara, in the beginning, or whatever the translation is, God created? Hey, wait a second, he didn't create anything. It's just, it looks like, no, doesn't make sense. Lachen, therefore, behechrech loymar, shenimtza ha'olam leyesh v'davar. We have to say that the world is actually something, it exists, it's something concrete, material, real, so to speak, real stuff. וכדמוס ראי על זה, I can bring you a certain way of, Dmuz is like some kind of proof to this, from the Talmud. He's going to bring an interesting proof. Mimaymar razal b'mishnah, super exciting the Sanhedrin. From what our sages say in the Mishnah, in the end of chapter 7 from Sanhedrin, it says like this, Shnaim leiktim kishuin. You have two people gathering from the field, gathering pumpkins, like they're gathering whatever, something. Echad leiket chayef. One of them is actually picking up, and he is liable of death penalty, really. Ve'echad leiket potur. And you have another guy, he's also picking up pumpkins, and he is exempt of death penalty. Why? What's the difference? They both are picking up pumpkins. What's the problem? Ha'oise ma'ise chayav. Ha'oise is ainayim potur. The one that is doing actually something, ma'ise, like a concrete action, he is liable of death penalty. I'll explain why in a second. Ha'oise is ainayim potur. The one that is literally translating, picking up the eyes, he's like deceiving people, like magic, and you know, oh, the whole Statue of Liberty disappeared. Wow, amazing. Yeah, that didn't really disappear. It looks like, okay, interesting trick. Nice, thank you. But it didn't really disappear. It's there. It's Oiches Esainayim, it's like a magician. He is exempt of death penalty. Why? This is related to Avodah Zarah, to idolatry. So if a person, we'll see in a minute, if a person is doing idolatry, and is actually doing an action of idolatry, okay, there's a death penalty in the Torah for idolatry. But if a person is just looks like he's doing something, but is really not doing anything, like a magician or whatever, you can't punish him because he didn't do anything. Okay, so now we're going to understand how this proves the idea that the world actually exists. This is an interesting thing. This is repeated in Hasidus in many places. The interesting thing about it is we're bringing a proof from Torah that the world exists. Why? It's not enough that you open your eyes and you see the world. That's not enough. Why? Because that's a subjective truth. You see the world, and for you the world is important, and therefore you say the world exists. Why? Because I love pizza. What are you going to say? The pizza is not there? Nah, pizza is there and I want to eat. Whatever, it's a subjective reality, not a true reality. But if you bring the proofs from the Torah, and Torah is Torah's MS, is the true Torah, because it's God's wisdom and God is true, so the Torah is true. Oh, the Torah of truth says that the world exists? Oops, the world exists. I don't care what you think, but the world exists. Okay, that's why the Rebbe is bringing a proof from Torah. So such a very simple thing, like touch yourself. Yeah, I'm here. Okay, so the world exists. Nah, that's not enough. Now, if you're going to say me, to tell me that the world really doesn't exist, it's just what you think it exists, but it doesn't. Why would be the guy that is doing something in the world, picking up pumpkins with Avodah Zarah, with idolatry, why is he liable of death penalty? He's not doing anything. Like, if the world is only an illusion, and this guy is with illusion, looks like he's picking up pumpkins from an illusionary world, after all, he didn't do anything. It doesn't really matter whether he did what we called idolatry. Because the world doesn't exist, so therefore he didn't do anything. There's no action over here. There's no world, no idolatry, no nothing. So why would you punish him? Because actually the pumpkins are not pumpkins, are nothing. They're just an illusion. It looks like pumpkins, but it's not. Because again, we're in the realm, so to speak, of thinking that the truth is that the world doesn't exist. It's just an illusion. Doesn't exist. So we see a guy doing some, or he's saying abracadabra, whatever, he says weird words, and suddenly he's picking up pumpkins. And we find out that these words are actually, he's invoking some god somewhere, that the god of pumpkins, and picking up pumpkins. Wait a second. We call this idolatry. Okay, that's called Avodah Zarah. That's not good. Torah says you have to punish this guy. But the truth is, he's not doing anything because the world doesn't exist. The pumpkins don't exist. He doesn't exist either. So who are you going to punish? Why? Asher mitam zeh, that's the whole reason why ha'oiches esainayim, this guy that is doing magics, so to speak, me'achar shebe'emes en ha'oiches esainayim, since he's not really doing anything, he's exempt of a punishment. Again, suppose one of these New York magicians, so great and so on, he steals the Statue of Liberty from New York. And he does something that it looks like as if it's not there anymore. Okay, wait a second. Very nice trick. Maybe very expensive, whatever. Very amazing. Now, is the city of New York going to charge him for the price of the Statue of Liberty because he took it out? The reason, the answer is no. Of course not. He's there. You don't see it, but whatever. For some trick he did. But it's there. So you don't have to actually make a whole court case against him because he stole. No. He didn't do anything. So this second guy that is doing magics, he is not really picking up pumpkins because pumpkins are really not there. They look like they're there, and therefore it's potter. He didn't do anything. It just looks like he's picking up. So again, we have two guys. First guy, he's really picking up pumpkins using idolatry. This guy, we kill him. Second guy, he's not really picking up pumpkins. He's not doing anything. It looks like he's picking up pumpkins. So we don't punish him because he didn't do anything. Now let's go to the first guy again. If the world does not exist, there are no pumpkins, no nothing, why would you punish him? That's the question that Rebbe is asking. Why would you punish him? If you're going to tell me that there's no such a thing as a world, there's no world. And therefore, the punishment is also not there. Skila means like throwing stones on the guy. That they didn't throw stones, but it doesn't matter. There's nothing over there. There's no Jews. There's no non-Jews. There's no judgment. There's no Torah. There's nothing. Nimtza. It doesn't make any sense. Comes out. Shelo yesh schar ve'oinesh. Comes out that there's no such a thing as a reward or a punishment. Because what is the guy going to tell you? Ah, you're going to throw me stones on me? You're going to throw stones on me? There's no such a thing as stones. There are no stones. There is no me. There is no you. There's nothing. Nah. Doesn't make any sense. And therefore, if you don't have reward and punishment, there's no commandments, there's no Torah, no mitzvah. This is a stupid thinking. No, it's impossible. Impossible to think like this. Rather, the proper thinking is the truth is that the existence of the world is actually an existence, a true existence. Only that every single thing of all the details of the creations from all the worlds, Bria, Yetzir, Ansia, whatever, all the worlds, they have a source, a root and a source in spiritual worlds. And first of all, the Rebbe repeats the same thing. First of all, there's a chain of levels from its source in a way of chain. Chain and all the parts, the rings of the chain, and so on. Then there's another step of creation. Creation, something from nothing, hainu, that means that the creator hides himself, he conceals himself from the thing he is creating. But on the other hand, if it would be revealed the creator from the creation, it would become of the creation nothing, absolutely nothing, really nothing. How do you know that? How do you know that if God would be revealed, we would become nothing? The proof is like this. Even the angels, that the Rambam actually calls the angels in separated intellects, like whatever, flying intellects around the world, whatever. And they are the great creatures that we call on them this verse. How great are your actions? And how we explained actually before, the Rebbe mentioned this before. The angels are so great and so big and so blah, blah, blah. Hine, Amru Razal, our sages said, regarding the angels, Hoyshit HaKadosh Baruch Hu et Tzvo HaKtana Beinei Musrafam. God put his small finger between them and he burned them all. Like even a small finger of God, of revelation of God, they got all burned. It's impossible. It's too much. Pirush, that means, שכאשר נסגר עליהם יישר מהחוק הקוצב להם נסבט לגמרי. When it got revealed upon the angels a little bit more from the rule, from the amount of revelation that they actually need, they completely got destroyed, completely burned out. And if this happened to the angels, כל שכן כשהיה מסגר על שערי הנבראים, how much more so if God would reveal himself on the rest of the creation? It would become nothing from the whole creation. Completely nothing. If this is so, now comes the conclusion of all this idea. Even in the moment that God does not reveal upon the creation, and they are actually an existence, and they are something, like ourselves, I feel myself something, I exist. Mikol Makem, however, Eina Metzius Amitin, they're not a true existence. This is the key word of this whole chapter. They're not a true existence. True existence means, the Rambam talks about this a lot, true existence means that you are independent from God. It looks like we are independent, to the point that a person can say, I don't believe in God, I don't care what he says, and you don't die immediately. You continue functioning, whatever. Okay, we can argue in the world to come. Okay, that's another point. But right now, I can do whatever I want. Nothing is going to happen to me. That means that we feel like an existence, like an independent existence, but we are not. The truth is, Einan Metzius Amiti. We're not a true existence. What's the proof that an existence that is not independent is not really called a true existence? Minehares amechazdim. This proof that Rebbe brings from another place in the Torah, from rivers that actually interrupt. Kezev, the word kezev with a zayin, not kesef. Kezev means a false, like false rivers. What does it mean, false rivers? Shemechazdim achaz v'shavua. That once in 7 years, they interrupt, they stop flowing. For whatever reason, they just stopped flowing once in 7 years. Hainu, that means achas sheva shanim, harim psulim lekidush mechatas. Even if only once in 7 years they interrupt, because there's no rains or whatever the case is, doesn't matter, they're invalid to be used. This water is invalid to be used with the whole process of a red cow and the purification of ritual death impurity and so on. It has to be Maim Chaim. The Torah says in Parshas Chukas, Maim Chaim. It has to be live water. That means that even if once in 7 years they get interrupted, that's not, already not true. It's not really alive, so to speak. Even if right now they're really flowing very good, like a strong river and so on, Rak me'achar she'me'achar ze'sheva shanim nifsa kiluchan. But since once every 7 years it gets interrupted, their flow, and psulim, they're invalid. Gam beis shelchim, even when they are actually flowing. There's another very famous mashal, example to this in Hasidus, of a stone. If a person throws a stone to the air, you know, throw a stone, and you take a picture of this flying stone, at the particular precise moment that the stone is flying, Did it become a flying stone? Like the stone itself flies by itself? The answer is no. The stone flies because somebody threw it. There's a force applied to the stone, like a vector or force in physics, whatever, applied to the stone, and the stone is flying. But the fact that the stone is flying doesn't mean that it's a flying stone. No, no, no. At some point, the force is going to end, and the stone is just going to fall. The same thing happens with the creation. We see the creation around us. It looks like a real creation. Yeah, functions, and you know, and you touch it and it's real. Yeah, but the truth is, it's not real. It's only being created because of the force, the creative force of God. If the godly creative force would, for some reason, for whatever reason, interrupt for a second, that's it. No creation. Just like the stone, without the force being applied to it, it just falls. It's not a flying stone. So the same thing happens with the creation. It's not a true independent creation from the godly force being applied to it constantly to create it. Vimken, if this is so, Aloyam Bur Razal, she selfish ne have alma. Bechad choruf. Didn't our sages say, whatever that means, that there are 6,000 years that the world is going to exist and 1,000 years destroyed? Whatever that means, I don't know, but whatever. They do say that it has a limit, a time limit. Shenim tza'achas b'shavua emechaz v'nefzakim. Comes out just like the rivers. Once every 7 years, okay, once every 7,000 years, doesn't matter. It gets interrupted. Whatever that means, something changes. Lochen, therefore, gam beis asher ha'olam nimtza, hu gam ken eino metzius amiti. Therefore, it comes out that even when the world is actually found and you see it and you enjoy it and so on, it's not a true existence. He's not saying it doesn't exist. We just explained that from the Torah, it's clear that it does exist, but it's not a true existence. Ah, so he added one word. It's not a true existence. Uma gam asher berotzei saboire yuchal izgales davar mehave ala davar misave ve'yayim be'efes me'akol v'chule. And of course, he says, you have to also have in mind that if God wants, it can be revealed, the creator upon the creation, and that's it. Everything becomes nothing, just like with the angels. Just like with the angels. They became nothing because God showed a small finger. This is what the Rambam writes, Maimonides writes, on the verse, God, the Lord, is true. It's a verse in Yechezkel, if I don't remember wrong. What does the Rambam say? Hu levado ha'emes, he, God, is the only truth, ve'in le'acher emes kamitase, and nothing else has a truth like his truth. Ve'zehu einay milvade. This is what it means. There's nothing except for him. She'ein sham emes matzui milvadoi kemoisei. There's nothing as true, nothing found as true, except for him. Nothing is as true as him, etc. This is what the Rambam says. So we see that the Rambam is pushing this exact same point. The only true existence is God, because it's the only independent existence. Everything else depends on him. But it does exist, but it depends on him. It's not called true existence. It's called existence. This is going back to the beginning of the discourse. According to this, we're going to understand what Yoinosan Ben Uziel, in the years, whatever, 100 of the Common Era, a little bit before also, he translated on the verse that actually gives a beginning to our discourse. Who is powerful like you, within the powerful, etc., God. What did Yoinosan Ben Uziel say? He says like this, Leis kavasach, there's nothing like you in the heavenly powers. Eile is like power, Meroima is Maroim, up there. Shigam Eile Meroima, what did he mean? Why did he translate this way? Because even the powerful up there, whatever that means, the angels and so on, Hem Nivraim, Yesh Me'ain, they're creations, I'm sorry, something from nothing. The angels are also creations. Uber it says aboide, and if God wants, Yuchal is leigalois aleim, shorshamu mekoiram. It can be revealed upon them their source, their root and their source, veisbatl legambre. And they would become nothing, completely nothing. Ukeinyan oishit v'chule. Just like we said before, that God showed a little finger between the angels and they became nothing. Lochen gamakshav. Therefore, even now, even though they exist, they're not a true existence. Lochen leis kavasach. That's why there's nothing like you. Ki hu levado emes, because he is the only true. Ve'in le'acher emes kamitasi. And there's nothing else true like the truth of God. The most simple example of this, like really simple, is when there are some musicians that, you know, they steal some melodies or some parts of songs from other musicians, and then they come out with a very nice song and they sell so many, whatever, discs, how you say, so many records and so on, and then comes out that they stole. They stole this melody from somebody else. So all the people that used to praise this musician, wow, what a great musician, they just say, this doesn't exist. This is not a great musician. The other one, the other guy that really thought about this nice melody, whatever, he is the musician. This guy doesn't exist. So as soon as the source gets revealed, that's it. The rest doesn't exist at all. Who cares about the rest? Maybe you play guitar very nice, but it's not your creation. Somebody else's creation. So forget it. You don't exist. The other one is the one that exists. It's the same thing. It's the same idea over here. Now, this is the explanation of Yoines and Ben Uziel regarding the true existence and so on. Ulepiru shatargam onkelus, according to the other translation of the Torah, onkelus ager, shepirash leis bar minach, onkelus said something a little bit deeper. There's nothing except for you. Yoines and Ben Uziel said, look, there's nothing like you in the heavenly forces or whatever. But are they forces? Yeah. They're strong in the angels and they grasp and they, wow, amazing. But God, he's the true truth. Whatever. Emes Kamitase is the only one that is really true. But Onkelus went a step further. He said something else. He said, Leis bar minach, there's nothing except for you. What does that mean? Yishleimar, we can explain this the following way. When you really pay attention to all the physical things, when you really meditate on them really well, you will find, this is a deeper understanding, okay? We're moving forward to a deeper level of understanding. You will find that even physical things, forget it, are not really physical. Nah. Up to here we said physical world is true, but it's not the MS, like Amitasa, like it, truly true. Whatever. God is the only truly true. Now we're saying, forget it. The world? What's the world? What's the physical things? Nothing. I'll explain it this way. Al derech mashal, metzius ha'eitz. Take, for example, a tree. Hinei hu murkav midalid yesedis eish ruach mayim afar. A tree, or wood, whatever, is composed of four elements. Of fire, air, water, and dust. Vim kol zeh hagam ki yesh boi kol ha'dalid yesedis mikol makam metzius ha'ino yechod min ha'yesedis anat. Even so, even though it is composed of the four elements, however, if you look at a piece of wood, a tree, whatever, it is not one of those. You don't see the earth and the water, and you just see a tree. What's the main thing over here then? What's going on? You're telling me that it is composed of blah, 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 but you don't see this. So what's the main thing over here? The main thing is the power that is actually bringing together all these small parts. Same thing happens actually with atoms in modern science, whatever. You don't see the atoms, you see a thing. But the truth is, if you take out the protons and the neutrons and the electrons, whatever, everything becomes nothing. So what's the real existence of this particular creature? What's keeping it together? And actually, that's what it means, an atomic bomb and so all these things is separate the components of an atom and you get a great, amazing energy. But while they're together, you don't see this energy. So what's really the atom? This energy. That's what the Rebbe is saying over here. Venimtza comes out. What's the real existence of every single thing? Is the thing that it's creating it, quote unquote, keeping everything together, umekayemoy, and is keeping the thing from becoming nothing again. That's the maimar, that's the word that God said, let be this and let be that, and so on. That's what's giving actually strength for the whole creation to continue looking as a creation. Ukeshesor fina eitz, and when you actually burn this wood, ונשאר רק האפר, and you only see now, and it's only ashes, שהוא יסד האפר, these ashes represent the dust, the element of dust, הנמצא העץ, that is found within this piece of wood, והגימל יסד את אש מים רוח, and the other three elements, the fire, the water, and the air. יצאים באשן, they come out of the smoke. הנה, now, והאפר יש גם כן דל יסיידס. Now, you had a piece of wood, you burnt it, and now you're telling me that there's only one element over here, which is the element of dust, and the rest of the three elements, they went out in the smoke. But the truth is that these ashes also have four elements. אשר האפר הוא גם כן אינו יחד מן הדל יסיידס. These ashes that you see in front of you after burning the wood is not really one of the four elements. כי אם דבר המהווה אוי שמקיימו, really, what's the essence of these ashes that you're seeing is the word of God that is creating and maintaining these ashes, making it be. Just one parenthesis that I think it's important, the Rebbe doesn't mention it, but I think it's important to at least be aware that Ramban, Nachmanides, has a whole big explanation at the beginning of his commentary to the Torah regarding these four elements. Really a long thing. And the main point that I want to bring out is when you see fire down here, like real fire, that's not the element fire. No, 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 no. When you see water, that's not the element water. No, 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 no. There's a spiritual thing called element fire, element water, whatever they are. And he even brings like the element fire, it's really dark. The fire down here is not dark, it's light, whatever. But what I'm trying to say is that, and the Rebbe is actually mentioning this, that's why I remember this particular idea, is that even when you're seeing ashes, that they look like element dust, quote unquote, the truth is that's not element dust. That has four yesoides, four elements also. So what's the main thing keeping these four elements in this particular combination that creates dust or ashes or whatever? What's keeping it together? The answer is the word of God. And only when you actually separate all these four elements, as lo yishar me'uma, then you have nothing. That's it. There's no creation. Nimtza comes out. Ki kol devarim agashmim kesheyeshnam eizem etzius, comes out that all the physical world, all the physical things, when even if you say that they are existing, like they are something, like a piece of wood, the true existence of this thing is the power that keeps together all the components of this particular thing. And the source of this power that keeps everything together is the word of God that gives it life. We may have also created it, we call rega, in every single second, every single moment. And when you actually separate all these fundamentals, you have nothing now. It's exactly the same idea as an atom. Protons and neutrons and electrons are very nice. But when you separate that, you don't have an atom anymore. That's it. Like suppose, I don't know, chemistry of course, but suppose gold has a particular combination of electrons and protons and blah, blah, blah. Okay, if you separate that, you lose the gold. You don't have gold anymore. You might have something else. I don't know chemistry. I don't know what it becomes. But certainly not gold. Something else. That's what the Rebbe is saying over here. If you take the four elements and you separate them, that's it. You don't have a creation anymore. So what's the reality? What's the truth of this creation? What's keeping together these elements? And what is keeping together these elements? Oh, that's the word of God. So, in conclusion, what's the creation? Just the word of God. That's the main thing. Okay, we're not going to follow right now the Maimer, but what comes out of what the Rebbe said is, so the main power, the main thing, the creation is the word of God. All right, that keeps together the whole creation. Very nice. Okay, wait a second. Step back a little bit. What's a word? What's a word compared to the power of a person to produce words? What's a word compared to the person himself? Nothing. To the point that our sages say that God created the whole world with just one letter, the letter Hey, and the world to come with the letter Yud. So if you start thinking about this, Oy Veis Mir, wait a second, the whole power of the whole world, keeping every single part of the universe together, is just one letter that God pronounced somehow, somewhere, whatever. That's everything. So what's the world? Wait, nothing. It's really inexistent. It's really nothing. That's the physicality of things. Because the main thing is not the quote-unquote atoms over there. The main thing is what keeping the atoms together. All right, so we're in a, again, deeper level of understanding. According to what Onkelos translated, there's nothing except for you. Yeah, because actually, there's nothing else. It's just him. That's the truth. He's the only one keeping everything together and making everything exist. So the existence doesn't really have an existence by itself.